It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. This is episode number unknown. I usually have it open here, but I don't have it open. It's another episode of the Access of Easy podcast that goes along with the newsletter, the latest and greatest in data breaching and overreaching. Len, big week this week in data breaching and overreaching. What's going on? How the heck are you?
It's a big week in politics, Joey, because over here in Ontario, we're going to have an election that is going to be wrapped up as of this afternoon, this evening, in fact. So
yeah.
I'm not sure exactly. I'm going to refrain from answering that question. And yeah, it was it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Everything is great here. How are you, Joey?
I'm good. I did vote. I went to vote for my party of choice probably around 4:30. Polls busy. I don't know if that's a sign that there's going to be high turnout everywhere, but in my quiet little neighborhood to see high turnout, my neighborhood skews old, and maybe that's part of the equation here, but it's more than I'm used to seeing at a elementary school gym for a voting day. That's for sure, especially provincial.
A lot of Carney supporters out there.
Yeah, the carnival was in full swing in the parking lot there. Zellers is closed, as you know, so now the carnival is in the parking lot of elementary schools on election day.
I have nothing else to add.
That's all we got.
I don't want to cross certain things, and I'm just, I'm happy to see things are going. Democracy is what it is.
That's 100% right. 100% right. I kind of messed up my flow here. Here we go. So let's do the quote as always. Last week's quote: "As a well-spent day brings happy sleep, so a well-spent life brings happy death." That was from Da Vinci. Aaron got it. Congratulations, Aaron. "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" That's this week's quote. If you know who that was by, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? Good quote. If you know who it was by, put it in the comments. No looking, Googling, all that stuff. Encyclopedias only. CD-ROM preferred, obviously. And if you get it right, your next round of renewals is on the house. EasyDNS will cover you. No questions asked. Len, buddy, we got quite a week here, but maybe we should start with the Doge email. The what did you get done last week? By the way,
hey, five things. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. Please.
It's akin to living under a dictator's rule, apparently, if you ask some of these public servants. I mean, do you care about this? Do you think this is important, this five things? Would you be offended by this? Do you think it's the right of the taxpayer? Do you think it's Elon's right to be asking these questions? Where do you come down on all this stuff?
If you can't answer that question properly, then you maybe want to reassess what it is you're doing. Maybe you're not providing good value to your employer. Mm. And for people that are on the, if they're public servants, well, they got to be providing taxpayers good value. So I suspect this type of question shouldn't be something that should anger people. They should be able to answer this quickly and should be able to answer it without thinking, just right. Like if you're providing good value, if you're busy all the time, how hard is it to answer this question?
Totally.
So people that are upset with it, maybe it's an encroachment on their privacy. Probably not. You're on a public dime. Are you questioning their ability to do work? Probably not. Again, in a public dime, though. Just answer it. Move on.
I think you should answer it too, honestly. And I don't think it's asking for much. I think Elon makes a good point that whether he actually means if people are dead or alive working for the government, it's sort of it's a commentary on the state of affairs in the public sector. I think that's the case in a lot of these bigger democracies where you've just expanded and expanded and expanded the bureaucracy over the course of 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Some of that service, good. Some of it, not so much. But I think broadly, I'm with him that you want to find out whether or not people are actually, quote unquote, alive at their keyboard and have the wherewithal to answer an email. We should note that Mark wrote a little something about this in the newsletter this week. So if you're interested in more, check it out. It's not what you think. Mark is not pro or con. He's not for or against something like this, but has broader commentary on what we should all be doing when it comes to thinking about this email. I happen to agree with him, actually, just having read the blog post. I think it's true. Introspection is the key, not pointing your opinions and feelings toward other people.
I have nothing else to add.
Great. Where do you want to start?
Right? That's good. No, let me just say one thing. If somebody asked you the question, what did you do? Five things you've done this week.
Yeah, this
week. Mind today, this week.
Yeah.
God, you can't, like, answer, can't, it. You can't answer that.
Yeah, that's tough. That's
oh,
tough.
My God.
Maybe no, I know. Might it's, be like trouble. I said, it's like a it's a damning thing to get mad about this. It's like, you know, the lady protests too much or whatever that quote is. Clearly, I think this is probably the case for a lot of public servants, especially since, you know, you're watching the dissolution of DEI initiatives and other sort of pet projects from the last decade or so that are just going by the wayside now. Basically, everywhere you look, it's not just an American phenomenon. It's happening all over the place. So There you go.
Let's move on, Joey. Let's talk about this. I guess you want to move on. I'm good with moving
on.
No,
we're good. Let's keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this new threat that, according to the FBI, it's using AI to help develop them, these threats. And according to FBI special agent in charge, Robert Tripp, he says attackers are leveraging AI to craft highly convincing voice or video messages and emails to enable fraud schemes against individuals and businesses alike. So essentially, people are using AI to help craft new ways of doing things, or at least recycling the old way of doing things. You no longer need great coding skills or even having a lot of charisma in order to do social engineering on the phone. AI is making it a lot easier to screw over with folks. In fact, McAfee Research, they did some investigating into this, and it shows that advanced and sophisticated email attacks cost as little as $5.
Yeah.
I'm talking about $20-$25 too, where that may be struggle to buy Big League Chew and any other pack of gum alongside with it.
Are you surprised to hear that number being so low?
Yeah.
That really struck me reading the story. It seems to me like that's crazy. Is that a sign that technology is advanced to a sufficient place where, you know, you can expect to pay that much? Or is it that the sophistication, as we've talked about many times on this show, is that the sophistication of the attacks has to be so low because some people using the internet are just so brutally uninformed and unaware of their surroundings, digital, of course, that they just work all the time?
Well, it's the latter. Because according to the article, it goes on to talk about how Gmail users, they're getting telephone calls telling them that their accounts were compromised. They're asking for getting that recovery code, and they provide that. Well, so it's just using timeless ways of getting it. It's not really social engineering, just simply doing cold carding.
What a time to be alive with you saying things are time. It's a timeless method of invading someone's email.
Well, you know, when you get a call like this, right? And be honest, there's going to be a dead giveaway. If you got the guy with the heavy Indian accent claiming to be Paul and trying to help you out, you know, like, it's either he's trying to do the duck cleaning services or he's trying to scam you. Both cases are probably a scam, if you ask me. But either way, according to the article, they have some recommendations. And we talk about this all the time. Never click on links or download files from unexpected emails or messages. Don't enter personal information on a website unless you're absolutely certain it's legitimate. Use a password manager. But I suggest don't use any password manager. Use one that yourself holds, like Vault Warden, Bitwarden, stuff like that. Yeah. Monitor your accounts for unauthorized access and stuff like that. So it's really all the same. Same old, same old. The onus is on you to make sure that you are privacy centric. And if not, well, good luck.
Couldn't agree more, Len. Couldn't agree more. Let's move on.
All right. This interesting story about Copilot. It looks like this is still able to access data out there, even though the information may have been tagged private. And for example, like GitHub. And this GitHub stuff, Joey, this has been the topic of the week for you and I.
We've been thinking about GitHub a lot over here. Yeah. Not at AOE headquarters, but at CVP headquarters, we've been thinking a lot about GitHub.
Just generally, we're thinking about it. So, I mean, GitHub repositories, some, for example, have been clicked off as private or hidden. But still, even though that's the case, it's accessible through Copilot long after the fact. This is according to Lasso, this is an Israeli AI-focused cybersecurity company. But more than anything, the takeaway from this story is anything you put on the internet, anything, and regardless if you delete it, hide it, do whatever you want later on, it's there. And it may potentially be there forever through a snapshot, the Wayback Machine, through something. So when you're going to be communicating on the internet, when you're going to do anything on the internet, make sure you want that to be there for the stand a test of time. Don't put something on there that you would be, right? You're not going to be embarrassed years in the future of it. Yeah. So try, you know, just be careful with what you're talking about on the internet, because once it's there, it's there forever.
Do you remember when Grok launched on Twitter and it launched a great deal of fanfare, organic or otherwise? Obviously, Elon runs the platform, so I won't comment on that. But it launched a great deal of fanfare. And you may recall that in the early days, early hours, probably actually more accurate, of Grok, there were users complaining that Grok was able to hunt down private tweets and DMs. Do you remember that?
No.
So I remember Nick Carter and Niraj talking about this and on the Bitcoin side and a few others that Grok could give you someone else's DMs early on. And it's probably the same, right? It's probably the same mechanism through which it's happening. It's like it has this data set. It's private in the other browsing format. It's private in the other method. But this way you can get it. You can see it. And, you know, it's available somewhere in that Windows data, Microsoft data backend. There it is for you. GitHub is a weird place to put something private. I guess maybe if you're not ready to release it yet, maybe you private it. But there's probably better places to stash stuff like that. No, maybe I'm wrong. I'm a GitHub rookie, as you found out the other day. So I'm not sure. I could be off on that.
Oh, we gotta get you on board where you can do the.
I know. I actually forgot about it until I read this. By the way, we had like an hour long conversation yesterday about GitHub, and now I totally forgot until today.
Virtual machine, Joey, start with that.
I know.
Yeah, you can't screw that up. But here's a screw up that may be happening in Sweden, though, because Sweden is going through the process to potentially put together some legislation, and that could impact end-to-end encryption programs such as Signal and stuff like that. And the potential law is there. At least they're putting this in place with the intention of getting access to criminals' chats. So what is Signal going to do about this? Well, Meredith Whitaker, that's the president of the Signal Foundation, she stated that Signal would withdraw from the Swedish market and rather than comprising with encryption standards. Question I have, how does a simple app leave a market? It's not like, you know, we talked about in the past Apple computers. I think we talked about it last week or two, well, Apple periods, right, where they removed the encryption for users in the UK rather than having a backdoor installed that maybe doesn't even exist. Mm-hmm. So they just simply don't allow users in the UK to opt in for cloud-based encryption. But they're a company which sells products there, which deals with people in the United States. They have customers there. Oh, sorry, UK, sorry. How does an app say, oh, we're not going to service, we're not going to deal with the Swedish market? It's not the case. Like, it's a decentralized application. Yeah. So I can understand what they're trying to say here. And they may be trying to appease lawmakers are saying, oh, we're going to get out of the market. But there's nothing stopping somebody from Sweden from downloading Signal and using it moving forward. But to go back to the story itself, it's absolutely disastrous when they're saying they want to try to get access, especially when they're saying it because, you know, for criminals, chats is
totally
who's the criminal of the day, right? They could make mistakes and it could be leaking a lot of information that information shouldn't be leaked in the first place. So what a disaster this is turning out to be. It's Sweden, man, in the past few years, it's been trending in the wrong direction. It's getting faster and faster. So,
yeah, 100%. I think it's indicative that the governments in these places are weaker and weaker as well. Not only that they're asking for this access, but also that companies are just going, nah, we'll leave. We think we can outlast you, and the brand and the credibility that we'll gain by doing this is going to be more significant a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, knowing that we think directionally, we're going to be correct on this privacy argument. And so I think that's a sign of both. I'm glad Signal's doing this. To your point, in app stores, you can be geographically gated, but I think it's much harder on desktop, for example. So, you know, there's a chance that this would, you know, eliminate a bunch of iPhone users until they can VPN or until they can figure something else out. But like you said, and we've talked about this a bunch, the cat and mouse game is getting harder and harder for the cat at this point. There's too many holes. They're not agile enough, you know, big government, and the hammer of oppression eventually to catch one of these guys will be too big for the general public to stomach. And that unpalatable action will lead to further damage for government legitimacy. That's probably the direction you're going, I think.
And in the world of Linux, looks like there's new malware that has been released to the wild, and it's called AutoColor. Now I'm going to have to rank this, Joey. I'm going to rank this a 1. Maybe a 0.5
it's about
out
one.
Of 5.
It's about
it's, one. Yeah, it, for me, and it looks like for you too, it just doesn't work. So
it's not very creative. Clearly, like if you're gonna release malware and be successful enough where you make it into an Access of Easy episode, you'd think you spend more than an hour brainstorming a name, you know? Back in the early days of this show, that really meant something, the name. And now, not so great. Week after week, we're let down here.
It could be like a meme coin, though. They could be releasing tens of thousands of these malwares, and just one sticks to the wall. And so it's difficult to have a good name for all of them. And but the one that does work, it's like, oh, you know, what a crappy name we picked altogether. So I don't know. That may be the case. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
We gotta find out. Who do we talk to about this?
Well, clearly we don't have the answers. But this malware, AutoColor, it's been impacting computers since at least November 2024. And a security researcher, Alex Armstrong, says once installed, AutoColor allows threat actors full remote access to compromised machines, making it very difficult to remove without specialized software. It's currently not known how it reaches its targets, but they say that if a current user lacks root privilege, this is very important, the malware will not proceed with the installation of the invasive library implant in the system. So how many people have always root access on? Sometimes you're going to sudo in, sudo out, but once you do that, just exit terminal.
Can you help me with root access? Root access is basically admin privileges on the Windows side. Same thing.
Yeah, it's okay. Exactly it. And you don't have it. Well, you shouldn't have it altogether. You could give a particular user access to root, but they still have to provide root password. So, and it may be different than the password that you use to log in with your account, which is actually, that's probably a better way of doing things. It's better way to protect your system, and it's not always on. So if you need it, you could just simply log in. There's a thing you put in a terminal called sudo, sudo, and it gives you root access. As soon as you finish doing what you have to do, exit out, and you're out of it. So you don't longer have root access. You're in and out. That's the way you should be doing things. So that way you're trying to limit how much access you have to root. So Linux is not impervious to malware, viruses, and so forth. The reason why you don't hear a lot about it is because there's not a real reason to attack these systems. The people that use it generally are privacy focused, and they're small in numbers. If you want to try to get access to a lot of data from a lot of users and potentially stuff like credit card information, login, you're going to go after Windows because there's a lot more people using that, and to a lesser extent, macOS because there's a lot of people using that. If you try going after Linux, it's basically you're throwing a very small net and capturing a small amount of users. So with respect to Linux, it's not perfect. And there's a reason why you don't see a lot of these things out there. It's because, well, just they're not going to be able to get a lot of information and the end result. So
right.
Sucks that this is happening for Linux. Linux is picking up steam as a desktop environment, but still, it's still comparatively compared to Windows, it's like a drop in a bucket. So yeah, nothing else.
Linux is making gains on the aesthetic side, which is leading to people looking at it for their desktops. I know I've thought about that in the last little while. Breaking news here. Interesting that unlike on Windows, you can have like admin accounts on Windows, but still for significant actions taken by the user, even on an admin account, you have to basically confirm that this is something you want to do, whether it's uninstalling a program or changing a permission. Enabling webcams on browsers, stuff like that. It's all basically locked behind this mechanism for control. And in this case, it's important. It is inconvenient, I will admit. And I don't think there's a way to just turn that off. Although I'll be honest, I've never looked. I'm not doing enough of that activity that I find it really cumbersome to have to just confirm that I'm not destroying my computer on purpose. I think that Linux, maybe I'll ask you, as the adoption grows, do you expect to see more of this stuff, or is the open source community just kind of better? You're nodding, eh? So you really do expect it to more vulnerabilities to show up. I guess that's natural, yeah. Right? Maybe that's not necessarily a negative point.
So when you install a Linux distro, I haven't come across a distro where it automatically enables a firewall. It automatically has the fail to ban that is reducing the amount of logins that before you eventually get banned for doing a failed login. So there's little security things you could put in, and it's included in a lot of distributions, but it's not enabled. So out of the box, a lot of these distros, there's holes in it. So then if you simply just grant root access willy-nilly, you're just asking for problems.
Right.
So yeah, this is probably going to be problematic more moving forward as people that are, they don't understand what you're dealing with, just start fooling around with stuff. And hopefully they don't get wrecked in the end.
It's interesting, this whole Linux thing. You know, we've had a lot of Linux stories over the year, 2 years we've been doing this show, and it's always interesting for me to see that some of the, you know, biggest Windows criticisms leak into Linux too under a different name, like this, you know, admin privileges thing, the sudo, as you called it. There's got to be a better way. I just, off the top of my head, I can't think of one, but like, you know, like we talked earlier about virtual machines, like, is there, you know, a reasonable expectation that some of these OSs could have some kind of secondary sandbox where you can say, look, here's what I'm doing. Let's see if it works over here. If it works, great. If it doesn't, then I don't do it in my day-to-day sandbox. I don't do it in my daily driver side.
But if this is going to be updating something like a particular software
package. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, sometimes you can't. Yeah.
It's just, the only thing you can do is, going back to the original thing, is you can run a virtual machine and do the update there. Wait a few days to hear if the community says there's something wrong with it. And if there is, obviously, then you're okay, because mm-hmm. you're doing it within a virtual environment. But if there's nothing, then you could do it on your main machine. But just, I wouldn't even bother. Just keep backups. Don't keep anything that's very important on your computer. Have computers that are offline for the most part that have that stuff, and you'll be okay. It sucks to work in this environment, but this is really the way to do it.
Yeah.
Last story, this DISA, D-I-S-A Global Solutions. And never heard of this company before, but there are background checks and drug and alcohol testing services. It seems like it's a Punjab meet an audio video type thing where it's throwing everything together to one place. It was a legitimate place, by the way. I'll tell this story offline about that one. Anyway, there was a data breach to this DISA Global Solutions. 3.3 million individuals were impacted. And not just that, 15,000 marine residents were included in that list. And this was, I can't believe this, Joey, because this is just being talked about now, at least the past week. Discovered when? April 22nd, 2024. So we're talking almost a year. Yeah. We'll say, you know what? 9 months and change. Okay, that's 9 months.
You can't beat it. It's like every time we do one of these stories, that gap just gets wider and wider.
It gets even wider, because they say that there was unauthorized action to a portion of the network between February 9th and April 22nd, 2024. So that's a year ago plus. And during this period, they say an unknown third party gained access and acquired some data. The information that may have been stolen could include such as names, social security numbers, driver license numbers, and other government identification. So, and even financial information. And the beauty about all this, they give what, Joey? They give them the free credit monitoring and all that stuff.
How many people in these like broad reaching databases now have 5, 6, 7 years of data credit monitoring stacked up? There's got to be at least like 100,000 people, right? Across all these different stories. Must be.
You could probably gift those away every Christmas too, because
here's a promo code.
It's a stocking stuffer. Credit monitoring services. Here you go, buddy. Enjoy. Oh, God. I don't know what to say about this thing. The onus is on them to do better at securing this data. And you hear, you know, another one that doesn't do a great job. It sucks. And hopefully people don't get wrecked in the process.
God. You know, we talk about this every time. I'll just keep it brief here. If you're giving data out, you have to assume that it's going to be compromised at some point. Period. End of story. And if you don't, then you're in for a rough ride when it eventually happens and you're not ready. Because really the only question is readiness, not if, but when. You know,
yeah.
That's the end of the story.
And that'd be all, Joey.
That'd be all. Okay, enjoy the election coverage, everyone. Oh, you'll know the result by the time you listen to this, I guess. But Len and I don't, so we're going to enjoy it. And until next time, take care of yourselves. Be good. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.